Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll meet the team behind Minnesota National Guard's Women's Leadership Forum, get the latest on claims and outreach from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and check in with our county veteran service officers. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Deputy Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Brigadier General Sandy Best.
Our differences and our diversity are what make your Minnesota National Guard strong. Regardless of our differences in gender, sexual orientation or identity, race or religion, we are united in our service. What matters in the Minnesota National Guard is the content of your character, your love of country, and your devotion to serve the people of our state and nation. In our Minnesota National Guard, there are more than 13,000 brave, hardworking, and dedicated women and men who come from many different walks of life. Soldiers and airmen of every creed, color, and background imaginable serve together with distinction and honor. Despite our differences, we wear the same uniform, serve the same state, and salute the same flag. In the Minnesota National Guard, there are pilots and military police, mechanics and cooks, logistics specialists, and cyber experts. These brave soldiers and airmen foster a culture of acceptance, dignity, and respect. Regardless of our differences, together we become a team, standing shoulder to shoulder to protect our great state and the United States of America, be it here at home, overseas, or wherever the call may take us. Our differences and our diversity are what make your Minnesota National Guard strong.
Thank you, General Best. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Lieutenant Colonel Eduardo Suarez serves as the Minnesota National Guard's Director of Diversity and Inclusion, where he's responsible for the research, development, and implementation of the Adjutant General's Strategic Diversity and Inclusion Initiatives. Colonel Suarez, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me back. Appreciate it, Tom.
Colonel, I think the last time we talked on the show, at that time you were serving as commander of the Recruiting and Retention Battalion. And you were over there for several years, and I know that we talked several times about diversity in the Minnesota National Guard and the fact that your efforts in recruiting were to try to make the Minnesota National Guard mirror the diversity that we have here in Minnesota. So you're pretty familiar with that issue.
I am, yeah. And we had a lot of success over the last couple of years, and I would attribute to a number of different things, Tom. Not only has our recruiters become more culturally aware of the community that they serve and where they're recruiting out of, you know, our high schools become more diverse. In fact, the population in general in Minnesota has changed. So consequently, you know, if we're doing the right things and we're getting the message in front of enough people, you're going to touch the various communities that we serve in. And invariably, we've done a much better job, specifically in race and ethnicity. We're doing quite well.
And Colonel, you've rotated out of that position as Commander of Recruiting and Retention, and you now serve as Minnesota National Guard's Director of Diversity and Inclusion. And can you tell us, your mission sounds like it's broadened, because now it's not only match the diversity of Minnesota, but make sure that all of the soldiers and airmen of the Minnesota National Guard are included in every aspect of being soldiers and airmen here in Minnesota.
No, I think it's well stated. I guess I'll start with this. I think as change agents for the organization, it'd be impossible for us to achieve our objective without having a top-down approach. And we've had and continue to have the leadership with the right vision to kind of focus our efforts. And so with that said, you know, everything we do with diversity and inclusion is tied to the Adjutant General's five priorities. And if I do so a quick recap, it's people first, leader development, organizational safety and security, physical property responsibility, and to communicate and partner. And of these five different priorities, there's three that touch, that have the strongest nexus with diversity and inclusion. Those are people first, leader development, community and partner, which really is where we focus our efforts to create that inclusive organization you're talking about.
So, Colonel, back when you were the commander of recruiting and retention, you had three areas you had to look at. You had to bring in the enlisted folks. You had to make sure that the warrant officer positions were filled, and you had to make sure that you recruited and put in officer positions. And I would imagine within those three areas, you also had to focus on diversity and make sure that we had all of the people in Minnesota have opportunities to move up through each of those, being soldier, warrant officer, and officer, so that we had good balance.
No, that's true, and I think that goes back into why is it important to focus on diversity as a starting point. You know, the more folks we have of the diverse backgrounds, the larger population of talent you have in your organization. So when it comes to creating those new officers and warrant officers, which invariably come within our own ranks, if you don't have the requisite diversity in the organization, it's very difficult to start moving people into those mid-level grades and those senior grades in the organization. It's a proven fact that if you look at what your members look to in terms of leadership and mentorship and coaching, they want to see people like them move up the organization to look to. It gives them hopes. It gives them a pathway to success. And so it starts within your organization. If you don't have a good diverse population, it's very difficult to move forward.
Colonel, how important is it over the last, you know, we've been on the radio now for 10 years, and in that time we saw the Brigadier General Sandy Best was the first woman general officer in Minnesota. And since that time, we've gotten Major General Joanna Clyburn and Brigadier General Stephanie Horvath moved into the general officer's position. I would think when it comes to diversity and inclusion, that sends a really good signal to the rest of the force.
It does. You know, I think we get so busy, caught up in the day-to-day task of getting the mission done, that we don't stop to do a little more reflection. And I think that we've started to do that. I think ever since the issues with George Floyd in the last few months, has really drawn us to be more introspective as we look at ourselves and start asking those hard questions and how we're doing, the impact it has. And by all means, having people move up in the ranks for their talents and skills is a powerful message to the diverse force that we have.
And, sir, the other thing I learned from you over the last few years is every year you have to replace about 10% of the force, because you have people that have put in their time and they retire, and you've got some people that leave. So you're constantly putting in new people, young people at the bottom, so they can move up through the ranks. And when you bring in the diverse people that we have across Minnesota, when they can see NCOs and warrant officers and officers that look like them and have their background, that must give them hope that they can do anything as well.
No, absolutely. I think retention is the other piece tied to an inclusive environment. Retention, we spend all this time and energy in recruiting the talent across the state of Minnesota. Really have an inherent responsibility to ensure they stay in the organization for all the right reasons. And when they feel they're part of the organization, that investment will just continue to deliver double as they stay in and contribute and help us accomplish our state and federal missions. So it's absolutely imperative that they feel they want to stay here for those types of reasons.
Colonel, it might just be me, but it looks to me like those few years you spent in recruiting and retention and working on diversity have given you a really good base of operations and knowledge so that you could serve now as Minnesota National Guard's Director of Diversity and Inclusion.
Absolutely. I think not just from the standpoint of understanding how we bring these folks into the organization, but now seeing on the other side. You know, granted, I've been involved with the Special Emphasis Councils, which I know that Lieutenant Underschutz will speak momentarily about. So I've kind of seen the other side of it about why is it important to acknowledge the different groups that represent our officer and enlisted ranks on an airman and soldiers across the state. So it's to see both sides has been very enlightening for me.
Well, sir, it's been great to talk to you today and have you back. And we're going to spend the next segment talking both about the National Guard Special Emphasis Councils and about the Women's Leadership Forum. Can you introduce the two officers that you have with you today?
Yes, I have my partner in crime, so to speak. I have Lieutenant Taryn Underschutz, and she is the manager for the Special Emphasis Councils that we'll talk about later. And also have Captain Ashley Morgan, who not only works at the division headquarters here in Rosemont, but she's also the advisor to the Women's Council and has done a phenomenal job in leading our way through this this next Women's Leadership Forum coming up in September.
Thank you, sir. And Captain Morgan, Lieutenant Underschutz, thanks for joining us today. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk to these two officers and learn about more about the Women's Leadership Forum and diversity and inclusion in the Minnesota National Guard. Please stay with us. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Lieutenant Colonel Suarez who is Minnesota National Guard's Director of Diversity and Inclusion. And he's brought with him today Captain Ashley Morgan and Lieutenant Taryn Underschutz. And we want to come to Lieutenant Underschutz. We've been talking, of course, about diversity and inclusion in Minnesota National Guard, something they work very hard on, have for many, many years, to try to match the force to the diversity and inclusion, the diversity we have here in Minnesota. But one of the things that they do is the Minnesota National Guard has special emphasis councils that are partnering with corporate employee resource groups in established yellow ribbon companies. And there are eight of them. And, Lieutenant, can you tell us, the Minnesota National Guard has these eight special emphasis councils. Can you describe them to us and tell us about them?
I can, Tom. So, as you said, there are eight. So we have the African American Heritage, American Indian, Native American, Asian American, Pacific Islander, Disability Employment Awareness, Hispanic and Latino Heritage, Holocaust Remembrance, the LGBT Council, and the Women's Council.
And, Lieutenant, how do they work? Do they? How often do they meet? How do you get on these councils, and what's the mission?
So anybody can be a part of the councils, but they are each led by three individuals, so the executive champion, the advisor, and the manager. And then each council gets to go out in the community and really be a part of it, as well as bring their community into the Minnesota National Guard.
And how often do they meet, and what is their mission? What are you trying for them to do?
So all eight councils meet monthly, but individually it really depends on how often they need to meet. But we talk monthly about different events that are going on, what we could do more in the community or internally, and what their thoughts are, and any interesting topics that are coming up, any concerns.
And so within their specialty, they're just trying to keep up with the community and keep up with what's going on, and with what they find or whatever they determine, do they report that back to Colonel Suarez? Do they come back to you on these things? How does that work?
Yep, they come back to me, and if there's an event that they want to attend that they think would bring value, we run that through the Special Emphasis Program, and then also Colonel Suarez is included, and so each council has an anchor event, and that's at least one anchor event, and then that's the event that really highlights the council and brings a community together. It provides support and personal and professional development. So events like that, that's what we hope to bring to the Minnesota National Guard members.
So, Colonel Suarez, do you monitor those eight councils and get some feedback from them that you can pass on to leadership then?
We do. I mean, and like Taryn alluded to, you know, each council kind of has its own pulse. It's kind of its own operations temp in terms of the level of engagement they have. Again, they're all comprised of primarily volunteer people, a combination of full-time and traditional drilling soldiers and airmen. So, and each of the groups have a different focus. So some communities are more active. Myself being a part of the Hispanic Latino group for many, many years, you know, our big anchor event is Cinco de Mayo. We have an opportunity to set up a booth, an education booth. We partner with recruiting battalion as well. It's just a great way to put a face of the National Guard in our communities in a public setting, such as Cinco de Mayo, where we can engage with the public and educate them on who we are and what we do.
Well, that must make your soldiers and airmen feel terrific that they can include the Minnesota National Guard with those eight special emphasis councils and in all of these events and reach out to the community to get to know each other and get more comfortable.
Exactly. It also works twofold. It also works back within our own organization, as council members will bring their initiatives, ideas back to their units and have opportunities to have maybe a cultural day at the unit level or bring a soldier story to one of the senior leader meetings, a way just to have an exchange about culture and ideas and people, and so that soldiers and airmen realize that, hey, the folks that serve these different diverse communities are members of their own organization, and building that rapport and cultural understanding really brings strength back to the organization.
Very good, sir. We're talking about diversity and inclusion in the Minnesota National Guard and the Women's Leadership Forum on Minnesota Military Radio. And Captain Morgan, I want to come to you now and learn a little bit about the Women's Leadership Forum. Can you tell us what it is? I think we've talked about this every year for quite a few years now. How long has this been going on, and what is it all about?
Yes, Tom. Good morning. Good morning. I'd love to tell you about it. So this year, we've got our Women's Leadership Forum on the 12th of September. It's usually always a Saturday in September. This year is the 12th, and it will be our 7th year of the Women's Leadership Forum. So it was originally started as an initiative to provide leadership skills and training to women in the Minnesota National Guard, provide them sort of an event and an outlet in order for them to grow and flourish. And it's really grown from there. It's become this sort of broad anchor event that a lot of soldiers and airmen attend, both junior and senior, across the ranks of the organization, as well as some of our civilian, both state government, local government, and civilian contractors that work in the National Guard. They all come to this event usually every year, and it's become this opportunity for both networking and personal and professional growth for both our men and women, clearly focused on women's issues and leadership development and how we improve and grow that particular segment of our population across the ranks.
And Captain, who can participate this year and how?
So actually this year, due to COVID, it's actually going to be a virtual event. We're going to host it over Microsoft Teams platform, and any member within the Minnesota National Guard, and even to an extension of our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon corporations and Minnesota government agencies can attend the event. The registration link is actually on our National Guard Facebook page. So if you go to Facebook and search for the Minnesota National Guard Women's Leadership Forum, you can actually find a link there to the registration for the event. And then that'll add you to the list where you would receive, about a week out from the event, a packet with information of how to log into the event and attend it virtually. So we're really opening it up, because it's virtual this year, to really anyone in our sort of a nexus that's interested in attending and seeing this event.
And Captain, I know in past years that you've partnered with some of the Yellow Ribbon companies in Minnesota to put on this event. Are they still involved this year when it's virtual?
They are, actually. So this year we're partnering with Cargill Corporation. So it's been interesting trying to navigate what that role looks like. Traditionally, our partner has hosted the event at their corporate headquarters or one of their locations. So this year, what we're doing is it's all virtual. So we're still doing the normal relationship discussions that we would talk about their diversity and inclusion programs, and we're integrating them into the forum in that way, so that we still get that connection and partnership with our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Corporation.
Captain, can you quickly tell us once again, when is it, and where can they find information on Facebook?
Yes, I can. So that would be September 12th. It's a Saturday, I believe the second Saturday, the one following Labor Day weekend. And then it's an all-day event, so it starts at 8 o'clock in the morning and ends at 4 p.m. Virtually, or just shy of 4 p.m. And you can find the information on it on the Minnesota National Guard Women's Leadership Forum Facebook page. Scroll through there and you look for the forum information, and there should be a link that you can register.
Thank you, Captain. I hope you have a great event, and a lot of people tune in for the virtual event. Thanks for joining us today. Colonel, a lot going on in the Minnesota National Guard, and now that your focus is highly focused on diversity and inclusion, it would seem that you've got a full plate, sir.
I do. It's been a very interesting transition leaving the battalion, recruiting battalion, and coming to this new job. While similar focuses in some respect, really a different type of energy required. It's definitely a lot about relationships and communication with internal and external partners. And I'll tell you, it's an interesting mission, because unlike, you know, season objective type mission, this is different. I mean, you're always striving to improve. I think you can't become too inclusive or too diverse. And so, you know, we've got some benchmarks out there we want to achieve, but what I'm really excited to see is where this mission goes in the years to follow, because I just see us, with the amount of energy and resources, that we're going to achieve the goal of creating an inclusive environment. More importantly, we need to, Tom, because the demands of the National Guard haven't changed. Maybe the missions outside are a little different, But the training's never been more intense. Our demands on our airmen and soldiers and civilian employers has never been more. We have to retain the best talent in the National Guard to make our missions.
Colonel, best of luck to you in your new position. We hope to hear from you soon with some updates on how you're doing. And to all three of you, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us.
That was Lieutenant Colonel Eduardo Suarez, Captain Ashley Morgan, and Lieutenant Taryn Underschutz talking about diversity and inclusion in the Minnesota National Guard. Please stay with us. When we get back, we're going to get the latest on claims and outreach from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to get the latest on claims and outreach from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Landlords hold the key to helping Minnesota reach the goal of housing every homeless veteran. We pay tribute to the landlords and the property owners who are putting an end to veteran homelessness in Minnesota. We are looking for more landlords in Minneapolis and St. Paul who are willing to stand up and put keys in the hands of our heroes. If you're a landlord who's interested in giving to our heroes a second chance, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org. Housing homeless veterans is possible through the willingness of landlords now and in the future to open their doors to Minnesota veterans and to bring them all the way home. Call 1-888-LINK-VET and join the movement.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Ron Quadi serves as the Director of Claims and Outreach for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Claims and Outreach, and he's worked for the department for 15 years. Ron, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom, and thanks for having me on today to share some important information.
Ron, it's been quite a while since you've been on the show, but how long did you spend in the United States Navy, and what did you do there?
I did what would be considered a typical tour of 4 years in the Navy. I was a hospital corpsman, which I'd say specialized in Fleet Marine Force or field corpsman with the Marine Corps. I spent about half my time on the blue side of the Navy in the hospitals and at the National Naval Medical Center specifically, and about half my time deployed with the Marines through the Far East, Okinawa, and Korea.
Ron, is it true? All the Marines I talk to tell me that even if a guy was in the Navy, if he was a corpsman and he worked with the Marines, he's an honorary Marine. Is that true?
That is true. I am proud to say that I served, after many, many honorable corpsmen before me, and the bond between corpsmen and Marines is as strong as ever. I was very fortunate to be a FMF corpsman and to have, the Marines take care of me as well as they did while I was doing my best to take care of them.
Well, Ron, good luck on all the time and hard work you put in taking care of those Marines. That's a big job. Ron, today we want to talk about your position there at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and you're the Director of Claims and Outreach. Can you tell us what all that entails?
Sure. Claims and Outreach, or Claims and Field Operations, includes both managing the Regional Office Claims Divisions in St. Paul and in Fargo. And in our field operations divisions I manage not only our outreach section, but many special programs, including the Tribal Veteran Service Officer Division, the Gold Star Family Program, and the Women's Veterans Coordination Program as well.
So as part of that position, do you work closely with all of our county veteran service officers?
Extremely close with all county veteran service officers in the state of Minnesota. I should add that I am the committee chair for the education program, which educates or assists in educating our Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. And we work very closely as a committee with the MACVSO group to ensure that continuing education units are provided throughout the year, so ongoing training, in addition to the extensive initial training that CVSOs receive from our office in terms of the new CVSO training, or the stages, as we call it. We have four stages that CVSOs process through. And I'm excited, since the last time I visited the show, I'm excited to announce that, or you know, inform you that we now have an employee who was a past CBSO, Minnesota CBSO, who is specifically employed by the agency, and all he does is focus on providing education and training to Minnesota CBSOs. So to answer your question, not only is our relationship very close, but we work to make sure that we're not only backing ourselves up in advocacy, but also education and training.
We're speaking with Ron Quadi, Director of Claims and Outreach from the MDVA on Minnesota Military Radio. Ron, we've got a very unusual year. A pandemic has hit the world, and it's hit here in Minnesota. COVID-19, it's causing everybody to work from home and do some other things. And you just mentioned that you work closely with the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, and we know we visited them. They have a spring and a fall gathering, bring everybody together, and a lot of the focus there is to bring them up to date and educate them on new things that are happening. My guess is that they're doing that virtually as well. And how about your operations? How have they changed during the pandemic?
Yep, an unavoidable topic for sure. We started recognizing that this issue, if you will, overseas at the time, could potentially become an interruption in what we would typically see as our normal day, month, and year. So we started watching this at the end of 2019. We started making light preparations in terms of ordering items, you know, cleaning supplies and items like that. Once we got into 2020 and the virus started expanding globally and within the United States, I'm proud to say the agency was, I believe, further ahead of what the requirements were to prepare and to react to the pandemic. So we were ready as an agency could be to make the moves have, you know, staff work remotely and essentially provide seamless service, which we're very proud to say we were able to do. In terms of our cooperation with CBSOs, we did some amazing work to provide functionality and submittal functionality and virtual environments to CBSOs, not only in terms of our work. For instance, we created what we call the CBSO portal, where CBSOs can develop claims and submit those claims electronically directly to our office, their power of attorney. But also, our education team, including the staff person I just mentioned, who is the lead, Todd Kabinski, developed a virtual option for all training and education, which we implemented within a matter of a couple of weeks. And so I'm proud to say we discontinued the way business was being done, but we immediately implemented a virtual environment, and we did hold spring conference virtually, and we are currently preparing with the MACBSO to hold fall conference virtually as well. We're hoping next year we can get back in person and start shaking hands again, but for now, we are ready, and we have executed this new environment with very little issues at all.
Ron, glad to hear that you picked up Todd Kabinski. He joined us many, many times in the early years of the show when he was a county veteran service officer, and I'm sure he's well regarded by the rest of them, and should be a great asset to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
He is for sure.
Now, are you you alluded to next year? Do you think maybe you'll be back in the office by next year? And how is that affecting your ability to communicate with our veterans?
We are currently working on our what we call RTW, or return to work planning and policies. So again, we're being proactive in making sure that all of the guidance and advice from CDC to MMB is coming in, and we're processing that so that we can be back in the office as early as possible. We don't want to wait until the time comes and then develop those policies. So we're going to be proactive there. The communication with CBSOs has been very good. The workload, we saw a downtick in the workload with MACBSO or CBSOs there, and that was inevitable. The entire world was taking sort of a pause there while everyone adjusted. But now we've seen the work tick back up, and we've had between phone line communications, fax communications, everything has been adjusted without going into details about each, so that for a CVSO, their contact and their interaction with our office is nearly identical to what it was before, except for they're not able to come in the office and see us. So we're very proud to say we've made all the correct adjustments to make sure that we can provide professional advocacy and representation seamlessly.
Glad to hear that, Ron. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Ron Quadi, the Director of Claims and Outreach from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with former Navy Corpsman Ron Quadi, who serves as Director of Claims and Outreach for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Ron, I wanted to ask you about a 48-hour review. What is that, and when do you use it?
Sure. Thanks, Tom. The 48-hour review is a mechanism in place and formerly allowed by VA in where an advocate or a power of attorney, the representative handling your claims, would be notified of a decision made by a regional office or the local regional office, VBA. And the 48-hour review was the time frame allowed for the power of attorney or representative to review that decision and give the VA or the local regional office any feedback they had, whether it was in agreement or whether it was in disagreement with that decision, its verbiage, anything that had to do with that decision before the claim was or the decision was promulgated. And processed through the VA, the rest of the VA system locally.
So
we would use the VA or the 48-hour review on a regular or constant basis. It was something that before the 48-hour review was removed from the process, we used daily in every decision that was being processed by the VA.
So it was kind of an appeal process once you got a decision on your claim.
It potentially could be an appeal process, yes. It would not be technically an appeal, but we would use the 48-hour review, say, to find simple mistakes, maybe even clerical mistakes that needed to be fixed before the issue was promulgated. Once promulgated, our option at that point, once the claimant is notified, is to then disagree with the decision formally by filing an appeal, which, as you know, and most people know who have been through the process, is a very time-consuming process. So it was an amazing opportunity for us during that 48 hours to find issues that could be easily fixed and remedy them before moving on to a more expansive process.
So just an opportunity to clean it up a little bit and then let it go. Ron, for our listeners out there that might have had some type of a medical issue directly related to their service in the military, if they wanted to file a claim, would you tell them to start with their county veteran service officer?
I would, and I would reinforce that with letting everyone know that every county office is functioning based on their set of policies at this point during this COVID time frame. So it's important that you contact your county veteran service officer to determine not just eligibility, but how each and every county is handling processing the initiation of claims. Every county veteran service officer has been functioning in every county in the state of Minnesota and in some way, mostly virtual, is available to begin that process. And we're excited to hear more from people about contacting counties and processing claims, of course, you know, through our office if they so choose.
And Ron, we often hear that once a claim is filed, that the veterans work with sometime their veteran service organizations, such as the DAV or Vietnam Veterans of America, to help advocate and to help make sure that it's well documented as the claim process goes on.
Correct. While working with a CVSO, the determination of the power of attorney or representative is accomplished at that point. So if anyone seeks out assistance from a CVSO, you can expect that assigning a power of attorney, such as the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, American Legion, Vietnam Veterans of America, are a few of the power of attorney offices that we represent, but there is also representation provided by DAV, BFW, and Paralyzed Veterans of America as well in the regional office, normally at the St. Paul regional office and in Fargo.
Very good, Ron. We just got a few seconds left. I think your message to our listeners is that the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is open, and your office is open and available, and you're functioning nearly as well as you did before the pandemic.
We are, Tom, and we are thinking outside the box. We have used this time frame as an opportunity to make some leaps and bounds and improvements in how we're communicating and how we're representing our claimants here in Minnesota. So we're excited to possibly be on the show later down the road to share more about all of the new techniques and improvements we made in the office.
Ron, thanks for joining us today, and we'll be happy to have you back on the show anytime. And we hope you, RTW, return to work as normal as soon as possible.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Ron Quadi, Director of Claims and Outreach from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Joining me now is Greg Peterson, President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Brown County Veteran Service Officer. Greg, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, Tom. I'm glad to be back.
Greg, you're following Ron Quadi today, the Director of Claims and Outreach for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and he was speaking highly of working with you and the County Veteran Service Officers and helping provide training and all things that are necessary so that your County Veteran Service Officers can take care of our veterans.
Yeah, I've known Ron since he's been with the department. He is quite a fireball. He's got a lot of divisions underneath him, claims division, outreach. He's got people up in Fargo. He's got tribal service officers around the state. We work extremely close. As a matter of fact, we just talked on the phone together yesterday about our veterans.
It's always good to hear on this show, Ron, where we've got all of these agencies working together, and that's just another example. How are your veterans in Brown County doing during the COVID-19?
Well, now that we're in the summer months, they're getting out quite a bit more. Some are actually getting appointments up at the Minneapolis and St. Cloud VA medical centers. I see them around town, see them in the grocery store, some of them that ride motorcycles. I've seen those guys. But they're also still dormant. They're not coming into my office, and I suspect that's because of restrictions with masks and things like that.
Well, you know, Greg, some of my fellow Vietnam veterans are getting up there in age, and they have to be careful and wear their masks and limit some of their contacts until we find a vaccine, which I hope happens pretty soon.
Oh, sure, yeah. You're right. The Vietnam vets are certainly in an elevated age group. I understand that.
I appreciate you underlining that for me, Greg, being a Vietnam veteran myself. That's okay. We wanted to talk today about the Veterans Experience Action Center. And that's been affected by COVID, too, but can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, this is actually a VA program, and it has not yet occurred in Minnesota, but it's been done in other states, and it's a one-day event where veterans and family members and anyone that's connected with veterans can come into a centralized location and do things. They can apply for VA health care. They can apply for disability claims. They can have their claims decided on the spot. They can find out about the GI Bill, home loans, and things like that. But with COVID, everything's been affected. We were going to have it at Target Field. It was going to run concurrently with MACV's stand down. And now we're actually taking it out online, and we've changed the name of it. It's called E-2020. It's even better because people don't have to come to Target Field. People from all over Minnesota can get on E-2020.
So you're going to have to do it virtually like we've been having to do everything else. The only downside is they can't get their flu shot and they can't get a free haircut, right?
Yeah, that's right. Right now, there's a website that people can go out on. About the 1st of September, they're going to start having registrations. We've probably got about 40 different topics in which there will be all-day-long seminars on. I'll give you that website. It's real easy. It's real quick. It's, of course, www.mnme.us.
So this is going to be a virtual form of the Veterans Experience Action Center, where it's kind of a one-stop service. If you need something, you can hear about it, find out about it. They're all there.
Yep, that's right. And it's going to be on October 29th, so it's still a few months away. We're arranging all the speakers. I'll be talking about basic advocacy for veterans, but there's a lot of great topics. All can be found out on mnme.us.
Okay, October 29th, mnme.us. Greg, appreciate you joining us again today.
Thanks a bunch, Tom, and we can talk about E-2020 on another broadcast.
Very good, sir. That was Greg Peterson, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Brown County Veteran Service Officer on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Lieutenant Colonel Eduardo Suarez, Captain Ashley Morgan, Lieutenant Taryn Underschutz, Ron Quaddy from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Greg Peterson, our County Veteran Service Officer, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Deputy Adjutant General, Brigadier General Sandy Best. Please join us next week as we talk about veteran homelessness in Minnesota and meet a Minnesota artist who's supporting our veterans and military communities. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.